Hello, and welcome to our special series of Green Elephant interviews during March 2021, supporting the annual B Corps month. B Corporations, or B Corps for short, are businesses that meet the highest standards of verified social and environmental performance, public transparency, and legal accountability to balance profit and purpose. Throughout March, we are chatting with key people in companies which have chosen to certify as B Corps and become a force for good. Today I've been joined by Katie Leggett from Innocent Drinks. Innocent Drinks are a uniquely identifiable international producer and seller of smoothies and drinks. Innocent launched in 1999 after selling their first smoothies at a music festival. We'll find out which festival later. Almost 20 years later, they now make all sorts of smoothies, juices and other healthy, delicious drinks, all part of their quest to help people live well and die old. They've been a certified B Corporation for 3.5 years, and I'm guessing that means they've just gone through recertification. Katie Leggett is sustainability cheerleader at Innocent. So welcome to the show, Katie.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
No, you're absolutely welcome. So when I was doing a bit of reading up about you and Innocent, one thing that kind of stood out to me was I noticed you went to Imperial College. And I was wondering, how did you find Imperial College?
Oh, I absolutely loved it. I did a master's with a group of people that were also studying around, well, we did a course called environmental technology.
Okay.
And we were specialised in business and the environment, and it was great. I've met some lifelong friends there, and they are all doing amazing things in the sustainability space too. So a really inspiring environment and a great alumni network. I absolutely loved it, and an amazing opportunity to study in London as well. So.
Brilliant. And I asked that question because I happen to know quite a bit, because my brother studied physics at Imperial and I went to the Royal College of Music, which for people that don't know is completely surrounded by Imperial College.
Yeah.
So I think 6,000 or 8,000 Imperial College students and about 400 at the Royal College. So we tended to mix. Great. So I guess that leads to my next question is, I was wondering how you went from science to sustainability, but it sounds like the study you did was quite an environmental sustainable background anyway.
Yeah, so the course was very much around taking environmental principles and applying them to the business context. And I actually wrote my thesis on sustainable packaging in the consumer goods industry.
Okay.
So, and I did that in partnership with the World Business Council for Sustainable Development, who are based in Geneva, and also Innocent. So that was how I ended up then working for Innocent more permanently after that piece of research.
Brilliant. Okay, and so that kind of got you into Innocent, and your job is as a sustainability cheerleader, and I don't see any pom-poms.
No. No.
I won't ask you to do a routine. I just wondered what does a sustainability cheerleader do?
Well, actually, it's sustainability cheerleader was all about communicating sustainability both internally and externally. So responsible for things like creating our good all round report, which reports on all areas of the business being a responsible business, from our financials through to our charitable giving, sustainability, the work we do in that space, the nutrition and our drinks. But actually, really recently, as in the last few weeks, I've moved into a fully focused B Corp role.
Okay.
So I'm actually not a sustainability cheerleader anymore, but I guess taking a bit of a broader focus around responsible business and B Corp.
Okay.
And that's why it's great to be having this conversation during B Corp month, because we're doing all we can to be involved in what's going on in the B Corp network, really.
Yeah, brilliant. And you mentioned that sustainability internally and externally. What was the more challenging of those? Was it persuading the people inside Innocent that there are some things you have to do, or was it getting the messages out to customers and suppliers and so on?
I think it's probably a mixture of the two, because actually I think the most challenging thing in a business that's growing really fast is getting the right messages to the right people internally to then make sure that they're saying the things that are relevant and true externally. And that's been a really exciting part of working Innocent, because I started Innocent 6 years ago, and we've grown quite a lot in that time. Mm. And so it's actually been a really exciting time to see how I went from pretty much knowing everyone and now we're six hundred people, and that's just not the way that you work anymore. And especially now that we're all in essentially 600 little offices at home, exactly. That's just not, it's not the way that the business works anymore. That's probably been the biggest all-encompassing challenge, but I guess there are lots of things that sit underneath that, and definitely an exciting opportunity nonetheless.
And the message, because Innocent are obviously in lots of different countries now, and have you been able to use the same message around sustainability and B Corps around the organization, or has there been some need to change it depending on where you're putting that message?
So internally, definitely we try and just tell everyone the same thing, and also we are quite transparent about both the successes and the failures, and the things that work well, the things that don't work well. And I think one thing we are always trying to do is be quite honest and open about the things that haven't worked and where we've not been doing necessarily as setting ourselves really high standards and not necessarily meeting them. But in terms of how we then talk externally in our regional markets, we have a huge amount of things that we do under being a B Corp, which is the same as any B Corp. You know, there's the way we look after our workers, the way we look after our local communities and our volunteering, the things that we do on sustainability, like being committed to being carbon neutral by 2030, and all of those kind of all-encompassing things from a holistic view of being a responsible business. Some things resonate better in different markets. So, for example, in our French market, they really want to talk about sustainable sourcing and sustainable agriculture, which is brilliant, but doesn't resonate as well here in the UK. So it might be that the UK would focus more on climate change or the sustainable packaging initiatives that we have. And so what we tend to do internally is give all of the information to our marketeers and keep that as up to date, and then allow them to pick and choose what suits their regional market in terms of messaging.
So I want to sort of focus on the B Corp side of things in a moment, but first of all, on Innocent itself, Innocent the company, I think it's one of those brands that everybody thinks they know, but do they really know? Because I think I know what Innocent is. You know, I've seen orange juices and smoothies, and I think, you know, they do some good things and healthy drinks, and that's what Innocent is. But is that what Innocent are? Is there other things that people should know about Innocent? What is the message that should be out there?
Yeah, it's really interesting, because one thing I think we do struggle with is that we do a lot of really good stuff. And people know us for the kind of lighthearted, jovial brand that is, posting cat videos and saying funny things and making things feel lighthearted and understandable. And where I think we're getting to more is being really serious and sharing some of the things that seriously matter, but in a very lighthearted and simplistic way that makes it easy for people to understand. Because obviously, as I know you know, that sustainability is complex and there's loads of grey areas. And so trying to simplify that as much as possible. So in terms of what people might know about us, at least I would hope that they know that we're a purpose-driven business. But they might not know that means that we are, as a B Corp, we're kind of rigorously certified against that ambition. And that we are doing a lot of things and have committed to a lot of things in the sustainability space, which, again, because we're doing so much across lots of different areas, climate change, sustainable agriculture, sustainable packaging, all of those commitments, I think, can get a bit lost. Because it's hard to get all of those messages out to everyone.
And there is an awful lot of things that you're doing. I mean, as I was doing a bit of research, I was just amazed at the volume of things that Innocent are doing. And we'll come to a few of those in a second. This is a personal interest, really. What's the best selling product that Innocent sell?
Oh my goodness, do you know?
Tested. Is it an orange juice?
I'm not sure. Okay. It's probably. I feel like I should.
We won't hold you.
I was going to say I shouldn't. I probably shouldn't guess, but I would imagine that it will either be orange juice or our strawberry and banana smoothies, which our strawberry and banana smoothie is our oldest product. It's the one that's still in our range from right at the beginning. So that's kind of our, you know, heritage product almost.
Okay. So I was just being nosy, really. And so recycling revolution. And we hear, and I think it was even the last 2 weeks that Coca-Cola said, oh, we're going to a plant-based bottle. And I thought, well, whoopie-doo, about time. And, you know, lots of drinks companies, Johnny Walker and Smirnoff, and not all alcoholic, by the way, have announced that they're going to paper bottles or biodegradable or whatever. What's the innocent take on that kind of recycling packaging thing? And I guess this is, you know, your specialist area to some extent, isn't
it? Yeah, at least it has been previously to this year. But so our ambitions on sustainable packaging are, I'd say, pretty ambitious. We have been using recycled content in our bottles since 2003. So we've been doing it for a really long time. And we've been doing it for the right reasons. You know, it's because we, back in the day, were having conversations around how do we make these bottles include something that feels more circular. You know, we want to get that material back into the bottles, so that's been a really big thing for us. All of our packaging is 50% recycled, has 50% recycled content, which I know is not as high as some players on the market, and that's not to say that that's not sustainable. I think the 100% recyclable mark is a great kind of medium-term ambition, but I would say our long-term ambition is getting to a point where we have a mixture of recycled and plant-based content that is still PET that would then be fully recyclable again and again without that kind of loss in quality that you get with traditional mechanical recycled plastic. So that's kind of one of our ambitions. And then I guess the other thing is to start lobbying for better collection schemes. So, for example, in our German market, we've been doing this really exciting campaign around, it's been called a PET petition. petition. And that's been about petitioning the German government to allow us to be in the deposit return scheme in Germany, because that system currently doesn't allow juices and smoothies, but our bottles should be recyclable in that system. So it's just a matter of lobbying for that, and that's been a really super successful campaign, both at the drinker side, but also we're making some big steps to hopefully change the way that the system works there. I think the collection piece is really important, and the no waste on plastic, but also focusing on what goes in the bottles and making sure that we continue to design them to be recycled. And as I said, I feel as though there is there's a real challenge with sustainable packaging, because it's such a complex area. And, you know, I haven't even touched on lightweighting our packaging. I haven't touched on, you know, there are so many different things that sit within the sustainable packaging space. But those are the headlines.
That springs to mind is, you mentioned plastic recycling and PET and, you know, collection and things like that. And one of the things that strikes me as a major issue is the labeling of, you see a recycling symbol, you might see a number in the middle, you might see some other symbols, and there might be a dozen different types of these, and some are recycled and some aren't, and some are downright fraudulent. And so how as a society, community, do we deal with that issue? That's a major one, I think.
It is a major issue, and I think the only way that we can do it is through systems where governments and businesses can collaborate on what the right solution is there. So in the UK, we have I'm fairly confident in the OPRL scheme that is doing what it needs to do. And you know, there's been changes. So for example, now the OPRL logos that we use say cap on, then recycle, so that you know that you put your caps on your bottles so that those caps don't get lost in the system. The problem is that there are so many different types of plastic. As you say, the little plastic identifier triangles with the different numbers. And that means that our bottles are 100% PET. And they're a really easy plastic to recycle. But there might be other plastics out there that you look at them and they feel and they look similar, but they're different. And that consumer labelling piece is really important. I think businesses need to be really clear on with their consumers, and that's where OPRL, I think, is really positive.
And so something else I want to talk about, there's something called Reroute the Fruit that Innocent do, and I've got a question. I was doing an interview with a a bee leader as part of the B Corp Month series. Mm-hmm. And they said, can you ask Innocent a question for us? So I thought, well, of course, because they said they were in, I think, Malawi, they said, maybe 10, 15 years ago. And Malawi has an overabundance of mangoes, just huge numbers of mangoes mm-hmm. that were just being left to go rotten. Mm-hmm. And they said that they thought that the Innocent came in, looked at this and said, look, we can reuse all this fruit. We can use them in our smoothies. We can stop all this stuff going to waste. And is that the sorts of things that Innocent do? Is that, you know, what happens?
Yeah, I suppose so. So a lot of the ingredients, not all of them, but a lot of the ingredients that we use are what's known as kind of second grade fruit. Mm. And that's fruit that wouldn't meet fresh market standards. So, you know, in the supermarkets, there are specific standards on how straight your carrots are and yep. what the shape of your mangoes look like. And so in some cases, those aren't good enough for the supermarket, but they are good enough for the smoothie market because yeah. obviously it needs to have a nice color and it needs to taste good and it needs to be good quality, but it doesn't need to be a certain shape or size or whatever. Yeah. And so in a lot of cases, that isn't what our Reroute the Fruit project was about, but that is what we would do in a lot of cases. Okay. And a lot of our ingredients would otherwise go to waste.
And so the Reroute the Fruit was that?
So the Reroute the Fruit project was one that our UK marketing team set up in the UK last year as a result of we had increased stock wastage when the COVID pandemic first hit. Okay. And so we had finished smoothies here in the UK that were in stock and they were going to go to waste because obviously the train stations closed, the airports closed, the yeah. places where you'd buy our smaller kind of on the go smoothies, as we call them. And so what they did was work with our also B Corp certified partners, actually, Neighbourly, to reroute all of those products to charities that support things like local food banks or homeless shelters, to make sure that those products went to people, even if it meant that we weren't going to see any, you know, they're not selling them, we're giving them away, but at least meant that those products weren't going to waste. So that was a really amazing initiative.
I'd encourage viewers, listeners to go and have a look at the Innocent site, because we've only scratched the surface. There are things like Little Drinks for Little Ones, raising money for old friends, Get the Nation Growing, Just Keep Knitting, and lots of other things that Innocent are doing. So, you know, they really are doing a huge range of things, you know, under their kind of, you know, sustainable do good things. One I did want to touch on was the Innocent Foundation, and what that's trying to achieve.
Yeah, so the Innocent Foundation was set up in, I believe, 2004. Though I'm saying that and then I'm questioning myself, but I'm pretty sure it's 2004.
We're not into fact or fake yet. That's come later.
And it was set up with the ambition to help the world hungry. So we give 10% of Innocent, give 10% of our profits to charity each year. And we have that commitment that's on pack. You might see that when you pick up our drinks. Yep. And most of that goes to the Innocent Foundation, though some of it does go to our regional giving campaigns, like you mentioned, the Big Knit or the Big Grow. Yep. And so the work of the Innocent Foundation, so we give that to the Innocent Foundation, and then the Innocent Foundation are a separate registered charity. And they work on two different goals. So the first is to stop children dying of hunger. And that's all around investing in projects that help to reduce the incidence of severe acute malnutrition in children. And then the second goal of the Innocent Foundation is helping the poorest farmers to feed themselves. And that is all around this kind of subsistence agriculture, investing in projects that are really about kind of seed funding projects where you're helping farmers to generate profit and educating women around making small businesses at home and things like that. They've got some really amazing projects on the Innocent Foundation website that is funded through the money that Innocent donate to them. So it's really amazing, and it's a really brilliant, I would say, a really brilliant part of working for a business like Innocent, where you see that our employees are so engaged by knowing that 10% of the profits that we make as individuals working at the company is then going to the Innocent Foundation, who funds some really.
And I think it comes into that you said, mentioned the values, and I saw something called the Innocent Promise, which is, you know, 10% profits. It's about sustainability. It's about good, healthy food, and absolutely, that must do wonders for not just employee retention engagement, but also for, you know, customers. You know, survey after survey says customers want to buy from ethical, sustainable companies, and so it must be a real strength for you guys.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think we've certainly seen an uplift in interest. You know, you hear a lot of people talk about the blue planet effect, but I would say maybe not overnight, but in the year or so following the release of Blue Planet 2, we really did see we continue to see sustainability and, I guess, good all-round business, you know, buying from companies that are doing good holistically is a purchase driver for our drinkers. And if it's a purchase driver for our drinkers, you can only assume that that's across, you know, lots of areas. And that then means obviously that customers, our direct customers, so the retailers, do want to buy products that are then going to support that drinker, you know, ambition. And that's where you start to see things like Ocado, Boots, Waitrose having B Corp aisles in their online shops, which is amazing, because I think where we'd love to get to with the B Corp movement is that it becomes a recognizable stamp of this is a business that is doing really good stuff. I don't think we're quite at the full end of that yet. I really think there's a lot of space for growth of the B Corp movement. And it's exciting to see customers start standing up and talking about the movement.
Yeah, well, it's 120 million companies or so estimate in the world, and only 4,000 or so B Corps. So there's a lot of room for growth. So onto B Corps. So Innocent, you've got these great values, this great brand. You're doing a huge amount of community give back and good things. So why do you need B Corp then? Why is that important if you're already doing all this other stuff?
Yeah, it's a great challenge, actually, because as I said, I'm relatively new into this role at Innocent, and it's been one of the first things that I've been focused on is, okay, well, we said basically that we were a B Corp before we became a B Corp, which is true to a point. I'd say there are kind of three main reasons for doing it. The first thing is that we wanted to join the movement, and we wanted to be able to stand up and inspire other businesses to join us and to be a force for good, and to say, here is the pathway that you need to take. You don't have to be perfect now. It's about continuous improvement. And that inspiration piece is really important. The second thing is that it really holds us to account, you know, making sure that we have all of the information that we need to know what it means to be a good business. You know, instead of checking our own homework, we're getting someone to check our homework for us on it, you know? And then the third piece is that I believe that the B Corp movement has the potential to be a stamp of approval, so that our drinkers, people that work here, people that want to work here, our peers can look at Innocent and genuinely know that we are a business that's about doing good, not just looking good. You know, we hear a lot about this idea of purpose wash, and businesses saying, oh, we've got purpose and therefore you should buy from us, and that whole kind of purpose wash movement. I think B Corp could combat that. So that's why we do it, even though you're right, it does seem like we were doing it before.
I think there's a lot of good stuff in there. I think you mentioned checking your homework, and that kind of independent body that is checking your homework is, I think, you know, key to the success of B Corp, because it isn't you saying you're doing good stuff. We do a regular weekly news podcast about sustainability news, and every single week we have news stories which, on the surface, we're doing this, we're going net zero, we've got this package, and it really is just, you know, purpose washing, greenwashing, whatever you want to call it. It's not based in reality, whereas B Corps obviously are. But that brings us on to the recertification. So have you've just been through recertification?
We are going through it as we speak, in fact. Very exciting time for us, B Corp and recertification at the same time.
Yeah, and how are you finding that process?
So it's the first time I've been involved. And I would say I am just struck by the level of detail and commitment that the Innocent team put into making us a B Corp. We are, as I say, we're growing fast and we're growing globally. Yeah. So it's a real challenge to get all of the information that we need. And we have a great team of people across the business that we call our beekeepers. And those beekeepers are basically people that are accountable for certain areas of the business. So whether that be our supply chain, our people team, our IT systems, our marketing teams, you know, we've got teams from all over.
Yeah.
As beekeepers, and those people help us collect the information we need, but they also hold their teams accountable for that vision of continuous improvement as part of what we do in the years that we're not recertifying. And I would say that this is the first year we only certified in 2018. So this is the first time that we're recertifying.
Yeah.
And I think my ambition as coming into this role new is that we really start to give those beekeepers ownership of taking action to improve the way that we are doing business, so that we can genuinely use the business as a force for good. And not just about getting points, but about, you know, really using that that responsible business ethos. And
yeah,
I think a good example of that is we've got more than 75% of our employees take a volunteering day every year. So that's amazing. So that kind of in terms of the BIA, in terms of how many points we get, that's job done. We've done it. That's full marks. We get full marks for that. But I look at our volunteering approach and I think, oh, well, actually, I think there's some really great ways that we could improve this. We could improve how we share it internally. We could improve how we link up with local charities. We can improve how people do skills-based volunteering, not just going and supporting a local food bank, although I would also encourage that they support local food banks, of course.
Yeah.
But I think there's real opportunity to embed that continuous improvement vision whilst also using the BIA as a prompt, but not necessarily doing it because it gets us more points, doing it because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, and that's a consistent message from the B Corps we've been speaking to, is that recertification and annual impact assessment is not about, as you say, points. It's not about achieving a score. It's about continuous improvement. All of the B Corps we've spoken to want to be better because they want to be better, not because there's any other kind of, you know, money purpose or, you know, attracting cut. They want to be better because they want to be better. So it's amazing. Katie, there's any number of things we could talk about, and we could delve into any of those areas in lots more details. But we've been asking all of our guests for some tips, some recommendations. So is there anything you want to suggest to listeners that they might go out and try or do?
Yeah, well, one thing that I've been focusing on myself, which I thought was probably the best place to start, is this is thinking about either buying food that would otherwise have been wasted. So, you know, those kind of perfectly imperfect fruit and veg that you see in the supermarket, that looks a bit wonky but is exactly the same, tastes great, or perhaps buying more seasonally. And for me, that has been something that I've done through purchasing either like local or otherwise would have gone to waste food boxes, fruit and veg boxes. And I know that you're also going to ask me to make a recommendation.
Yes.
And so I thought maybe as my recommendation, I would recommend having a look into a couple of B Corps, because fellow B Corps, both Oddbox, who I think operate in London but may operate outside as well, are a fruit and veg box that are around otherwise wasted food, so surplus food. And Riverford Organic are one, but there are also a few, Abel and Cole, for example, who also operate seasonal fruit and veg boxes and all organic as well. And I would say the one that I found really helpful is Riverford have some great seasonal cookbooks as well. So those would be my recommendation.
Okay.
Certainly, as I say, one thing that I've been trying to focus on to lower my kind of food footprint.
And what we'll do, we'll link all of those organisations, really happy to mention B Corps on a B Corp show, and we'd thoroughly recommend you use them. I think there are a few others in other countries, so maybe we'll give those a mention as well. But yeah, certainly in the UK, Otbox, River Bedford, Abel and Cole. And I guess the other thing that springs to mind, and this may be something that listeners, viewers don't know about, is that some online shops, I think Ocado do it, you mentioned Boots, they have
Waitrose,
they have B Corp only stores, sections within their stores. So I know certainly if you go to the Ocado one, you'll see a lot of Innocent products in there, as well as Ben and Jerry's ice cream and Alpro yogurts and things like that. But yeah, go and have a look at those B Corp only stores. It's a good thing to do, support them. Okay, Katie, if people want to get hold of you, want to get hold of Innocent, where do they go to find out? Where's the best place to find out more? Is it?
Well, our website or any of our social media channels. And if people would like to get in touch with me, probably LinkedIn, the best way to do that. Okay. Or equally, if you emailed us, we have like a very generic email address that's hello@innocentdrinks.co.uk. But that email address is looked after by a team of amazing people's champs who would always forward it on to me as well. So
yeah, great. Well, we'll put links to Innocent's social Innocent sites and things, so if people want to go and find out more, they can go and visit those. It's now almost my favorite part of the show. We're going to play a fact or fake, and as ever, I have prepared some statements for Katie, and she has to guess whether they are facts or whether I've made them up, in which case they are fakes. And I'm feeling okay today because I had a couple of wins yesterday. I was on a long losing streak, but I had a couple of wins yesterday, so my confidence is back.
I'm really hoping I don't embarrass myself.
No, you won't. So the first one, this is drink space. So here's a statement. So water is the most consumed drink worldwide. That's a fact. The statement is, the second most consumed drink is fizzy soda. Is that a fact or is it a fake?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to say fact. Oh, no, it's not, is it? I can see in your face.
I'd be rubbish at poker, wouldn't I? It is a fake. Actually, the second most consumed drink in the world is tea.
You know what? I was thinking the only thing I drink other than water really is tea. And I drink so much tea, and it has been a running joke, especially during COVID, about how that I always start my work conversations talking about tea.
Yeah. Well,
you know what I thought? Maybe tea counted as water because you put a tea bag in water, but okay.
Well, tea, second most drink in the world. So that's one to me. I noticed that one of the things I saw that Innocent do is coconut waters. Mm-hmm. And things like that. So in an emergency, coconut water can be used instead of blood. Is that a fact or is that a fake?
That feels like a very random fake if it's fake. I'm going to say it's a fact because I just think that you can't have made that up.
just like blood plasma, coconut water has high levels of sodium and low potassium. So in emergencies, it can be used instead of blood. Which is fascinating, for transfusions and things. That's
wow.
I know. So if you're feeling you need some blood, then a bottle
Very
of innocent coconut smoothie should keep you alive for a little bit.
We don't recommend
in an emergency. We don't recommend that at all. No, but it's an interesting fact about coconut water. And finally, on fact or fake, that's one each. Here's a statement. Throwing food away is illegal in Seattle. You're not allowed to throw food away in Seattle. Is that a fact or a fake?
Illegal. I'm going to say fake. I can tell I got it wrong again.
My confidence was high. It is actually, since 2015, if you don't compost your food waste and paper and things like that, businesses can be fined $50. Per bin, or households can also be fined as well. So in Seattle, it is illegal to throw your food away.
What an amazing law that is. I really like the idea behind it. I just really thought it was going to be a fake because I felt like it was quite localized. But
yeah, if we all did the same as Seattle, it would be amazing, wouldn't it? Illegal to throw food away anywhere.
Yeah, and I mean food waste at the consumer end is a huge impact. And so, yeah, not wasting your food, or at least composting it if you do have to have any food waste, can save a massive amount on carbon resources, all that kind of stuff. So,
all sorts of stuff. Well, with that victory for me, and Katie's not looking too upset with her defeat, I'm pleased to say.
It's okay.
It's been a real pleasure, Katie. I'm so pleased that you could join us and tell us a bit about all the amazing work that Innocent do. As I said, we've only scratched the surface, and I'd encourage listeners to really go and have a look and dig into what Innocent are doing, because there is so much. And thanks for being on the show today.
No problem. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. We really hope that you found this special B Corp Month episode both informative and entertaining. Make sure you don't miss any of the other 31 interviews with B Corporations who are striving to be a force for good. So make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss a thing. And don't forget to spread the word with others. If you have any questions about being or becoming a B Corp, or any comments and suggestions about the show, please do get in touch. You can email studio@greenelephant.show or visit our website greenelephant.show, or find us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube or Twitter by searching for Green Elipod or The Green Elephant Show. You can also review the show on Google and Apple Podcasts. Join us tomorrow, and we hope you have a sustainable day.